Hello and welcome to the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast. My name is Mark Roberts, and tonight I'm going to be going over some of the news of the day and also talking about rest of season rankings. And to help me with that task, I'm joined tonight by guest host Tyler Watts. Tyler, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going?
Thanks, man. Thanks for joining us. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Tyler is an avid fantasy player, and he plays with me in some of my leagues, and he was kind enough to join me tonight. Tyler, tell everybody where they can find you on Twitter.
They can find me on Twitter at Watsy4444. So that's WATTSY and then four fours.
Awesome. And just so our listeners can get to know you a little bit better, Tyler, why don't you tell us who your favorite NBA team and favorite current NBA player is?
Well, my favorite NBA team is the Lakers, so unfortunately that's often not really fun to watch, but I'm a big Kobe Bryant fan. He was really, really good when I was a kid, obviously, and now it's just kind of sad.
Do you wish he would retire at this point, or are you still, like, are you cherishing the golden years?
I honestly just wish he would retire.
I guess the twilight years, golden years are probably not right.
Yeah, but I don't know. Like, it's still fun to, like, hope that he's going to do good again, but it's probably just not going to happen.
And, oh, okay, so he's your favorite current. Do you have any least favorite teams or least favorite players?
Least favorite team? Well, I'm actually from Pennsylvania, so I like to watch the Sixers, and just mostly because most of my friends are Sixers fans, and I like to kind of root against them, even though they always lose.
A little bit of an agitator, huh?
Yeah, sometimes.
All right. As I said, we're going to talk about just touch on a few of the major pieces of news of the day. And then Tyler and I are going to go through the rest of season rankings on the website and look at some players who have either made some serious moves up or down the rankings and discuss whether we think that is really where they should be ranked, or if maybe their production is unsustainable or their role is unsustainable, and see if, you know, in some cases it might be a sell high, some cases it might be a buy low. So we've identified some players we want to talk about, and we'll do that. But like I said, I'm going to start with some news. We mentioned this yesterday. Myers Leonard left the game last night with a separated shoulder. It looks like he'll be out for about a month. So unless you have an IR spot with nobody else in there, I think you're safe to drop Myers Leonard. Again, unless you could stash him somewhere. Tyler, do you own Myers Leonard anywhere?
Yeah, I own him in one league, and I'm getting ready to drop him.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's going to be a while before we can see if he can live up to that potential of where he was kind of ranked pre-draft. But for now, I don't think that you can manage. He's not a good enough player to hold on to if you have to use him. Or if, you know, you can't have a dead roster spot.
I completely agree with that.
Also in injury news, we mentioned this yesterday, Miles Turner fractured his hand. It looks like he'll be out about 4 weeks as well. So again, you don't want to, he probably wasn't worth owning before, but if you were holding him for upside or something, unless you can stash him on an IR spot, I think you've probably got to drop him as well in standard leagues. And in the good news category, Kyrie Irving has been doing contact work of late. Brian Windhorst reported that he's scrimmaging in 3-on-3 settings and that he expects to return in a couple of weeks. So good news if you drafted Kyrie Irving like I did in many of my leagues. A couple of weeks sounds pretty good. Maybe targeting the end of November, beginning of December.
Is it time to trade Mo Williams?
Yeah, that's a good point. I actually made a joke on Twitter today that because I saw the new Uncle Drew commercial come out. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw that. There's one with has Baron Davis on like a motorized scooter, and it has Ray Allen in it, and they play Kyrie Irving and Ray Allen play horse.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen it, but you should go check it out. So I made a joke like, hey, it looks like Kyrie Irving is doing some work and he's getting ready to come back. And sure enough, it coincided. So I don't want to say that I broke the news, but
I think you broke it. I think you definitely broke that news.
I kind of feel like I did a little bit. All right. Now let's get into the good stuff. Tyler, we're going to talk about people moving up and down the rankings. Just to, for anybody who's watching the podcast, if you go to our, I'll show you where to get to these rankings. We're going to be talking about the head-to-head version of our rankings. Just a plug for the website, if you don't know this already, we have automated head-to-head rankings that, or excuse me, rest of season rankings that update each day. They get a feed from the wonderful website Basketball Reference. It incorporates the new stats every night, and it projects each player's stats for the rest of the season and then ranks them accordingly. And then it applies. We have rankings for head-to-head leagues, 8-category leagues, and 9-category leagues. So go check those out if you need some rankings for the rest of your season. Tonight we're going to be talking about head-to-head leagues. And like I said, Tyler and I, and actually, thanks a lot, Tyler. Tyler did a lot of this work. He went through the rankings and helped pick out some players that were really made some jumps up in the rankings or down. First player we want to talk about is Isaiah Thomas. He started off the season ranked 65th in our rankings. He has jumped all the way to 38th. And let me bring up, you own Isaiah Thomas anywhere?
I do not own Isaiah Thomas anywhere. That whole Boston team's kind of scared me off a little bit.
Was that intentional? You were trying to avoid?
Yeah, just because, you know, Brad Stevens has a tendency to run his rotation basically however he wants, and he changes his mind on any given day. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like Isaiah Thomas's minutes are pretty set. I mean,
yeah, he's gotten, I think, so I guess I'm going to say a couple of things that might sound contradictory here, because on one hand, he's playing more minutes than we thought he was going to play per game. He's playing 30 minutes a game. I can't remember what we projected him. It was probably somewhere in the 26 minutes per game range. And a little bit that is a mirage, or it's fake a little bit, because of the injuries. Marcus Smart sat out, and I think Isaiah Thomas, if we go to his game log up here, I think we'll see some games where he was in that 26-minute range. So, yeah, you can see there was a 35-minute game, and I think that's when he started the last few games. He's got a 35 minutes and a 34 minutes, and I think that's as Marcus Smart has been out.
Yeah.
So prior to that injury, he was still, I don't know, maybe I'm talking myself in circles here a little bit. He was at 29 and 29 and then 26, so – I don't know. What do you think? Do you think that we can give him credit for a few more minutes per game than the 26 or so that we projected him?
I definitely think we can. I think that he's probably right in that 28 to 30 minute range. I think that they need his shooting. They need him to score the ball. And so they're going to run him out there.
Yeah. And if that's the case, I mean, his per 100 possessions stats are pretty elite. He scores, and this season has been no different than historical. He's scoring 33 points per 100 possessions, which is right around his career averages, at least from his average from last season. His almost 9 assists per 100 possessions is close to his career average. A few more steals than you would have expected, and not as many threes, but that's probably small sample size as much of anything. So he's not doing anything unusual, I guess, is what I'm saying, on a per possession basis. He's just simply getting more minutes. And if because of injuries or other reasons, that's going to continue, I think he is going to, that spot in the rankings where he's a top 50 player, maybe a top 40 player, even though he's coming off the bench, I think that's mostly real.
Yeah, he's 37th in the rankings. I think that that's pretty real.
So I doubt that. I mean, what's your sense? Do you think people would value him that highly in most of your leagues? Or I kind of feel that's higher than most people would give him credit for.
I completely agree with that. I think most people think he's like right around that like number 50, maybe a little bit lower.
Yeah, maybe top 75 or something. So he might be a guy to go ahead and try to trade for.
I agree with that.
Yeah. So we're saying he gets we're on the same page. We're saying buy high, I guess, or something. Try to trade for him. I don't want to get confused. All right. Next guy on our list is a guy who has dropped in the rankings, and I've actually got a lot of questions about this guy, Klay Thompson. And I don't know if he's even necessarily dropped as far in our rankings as maybe he should. Let's pull up his stats again on Basketball Monster, or excuse me, Basketball Reference here. And when I say that he hasn't dropped as much as our, in our rankings as maybe he should, what I mean by that is basically right now our rankings give a lot of credit to each player's role and playing time, but not very much credit to this season's stats. It's mostly predicated on last season's stats. It's sort of a blend of the two, but it doesn't rely as much on this season's stats yet. In a few weeks, it will rely much more on this season's stats, but it does rely heavily on this season's playing time. So most of the changes in rankings are like we saw with Isaiah Thomas, where the player is moving up or down just because their role has changed. And that is the case for Thompson. Like last year, he saw a drop in minutes, but he was so good, it didn't really matter. He dropped from 35 and change in the last two seasons to 32. This season, he's sitting right around 30 minutes per game. What's your take on that, Tyler? Why do you think, I mean, I know it's just 2 minutes, but it almost seems like our expectation in coming into the season might be that he was somewhere between that 32 and 35 minutes per game. Like maybe he was 33 or 34 as, you know, things kind of just normalize, but he's actually gone the other way and he's playing less minutes than last season.
Well, a lot of that was right at the beginning of the year. Like if you look at the game log, he, in the first four games, he played 26, 24, 27 and 26 minutes. Now, he had that bulky back he was complaining about, but if you look at those game scores, they were all blowouts. Mm-hmm. So I think that more minutes are coming. Like, I mean, in the last four games, it's been 36, 32, 35, and then he's actually played 37 tonight. And, like, so I think the minutes are trending upward. I think his back is finally starting to get healthy, and I think his minutes are about to increase.
Okay, so in that from that perspective, he might be a good candidate to try to buy low on if there's like a different disappointing Klay Thompson owner. Now let's look at his stats per possession and just get a sense of and make sure that's not a bad idea here. All right, so his points per 100 possessions have actually dropped nearly 10 full points this season. So he's dropped from 33 points per 100 possessions last year to 24 points per 100 possessions this year. It's a pretty serious drop. And I guess what's even more concerning to me is it's not due to poor shooting. You know, he's shooting roughly the same percentage as last year, 46% last year, 45% this year. It's the shot attempts that are down. And again, that's on a per possession basis. So it's not due to those lower minutes. And specifically, it looks like a lot less three pointers. So I don't know. Does that scare you off at all? Or do you think maybe that was a function of the back being hurt and now everything gets going again? Maybe the shot attempts come back up.
Well, I have noticed that Harrison Barnes has been getting a few more shots, but I also think it was a function of the back. He seems to be getting run off the three-point line a little bit more, and you know, I think that he's just hesitant to shoot because I don't think he's getting quite the lift on his jumpers because of the back. In the last few games, I thought that he's looked really good. I mean, he's getting a lot of shot attempts in the last few games, and so I think things are trending upward for him.
Yeah, and I guess the other good news is, aside from the shooting, all the other stats look good. Like, the rebounds are actually up. Our assists are right around normal. Steals and blocks are right around normal. So I don't have any concerns for, you know, it does appear that his minutes are coming back up, so that's a plus for him. Looks like the other stats are okay. I'm probably not trying to actively go out and trade for him, but if he's on my team, I'm definitely not selling low on him. I'm not trying to get rid of him. I think there's a roughly 50-50 chance at this point that he returns to the exact same value as last year, and I would be disappointed if I traded him. You seem to be a little more optimistic on him, though.
I agree with that, though. I think that he's the kind of guy you have to have, like, the very specific kind of team to own. I mean, he's going to give you, like, a lot of three-pointers, and he, you know, he's going to give you some good points. And he's not like a huge steals guy. He does give you one. The blocks are nice for a shooting guard. They're always like right around that 0.8, 0.9 range. So like, I mean, I think he fits like kind of a specific team build. So if it doesn't really fit your team, like, I'm not going out and try to acquire him. But if I do own him, I think I'm holding steady.
That's a great point. That might, you know, it's hard to find a replacement for a guy like that. So if you are trying to trade him, I don't know who to even target. Although if we're talking about shooting guards, that is a nice lead into the next guy that we wanted to talk about, which is Chris Middleton. And Chris Middleton, let's see, he started off at 63rd in our head-to-head rankings. He's jumped up to 40th. And again, this is mostly due to, let's bring up his page, but this is mostly due to the change in role that we've seen. I mean, really, I think the narrative on Jason Kidd has been he plays pretty deep rotations. He doesn't play anybody a lot of minutes per game. We saw that with Middleton last year. He barely broke the 30 minutes per game threshold, even though he was one of their main players. This season, however, he's playing over 36 minutes a game, which is a tremendous jump from that 30 minutes a game he played last year. Do you have any sort of read on what's going on there?
I think Kidd last year was maybe just testing out these rotations and, you know, seeing who played well together. And I think now he's kind of settled in on it. I mean, if you look at the game logs, like a lot of times it's basically like mostly just the starters playing huge minutes and the bench guys are like, you know, barely getting thrown in there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've got his game log up on the screen and you can see there are some games more and less, but it's not like he has three triple overtime games where he played 50 minutes and the rest of them are right around 30. Like he really is right around that 36 minutes per game range, which is, again, you know, the rankings are relying on this season's minutes and last season's stats. But looking at his stats on a per possession basis, it doesn't seem like a lot has changed from last year. His rebounds aren't quite as high. But everything else, you know, the threes are right there. In fact, he's having a great shooting season. He's shooting 44% so far this season. That will probably revert back to that 40% or so he was last year, which is still outstanding. The rebounds are down just a little bit, but assists are there. The steals are down. They're about half of what they were last season. I would expect that to bounce back up. Jason Kidd's defense, and specifically, I think it's one of their defensive assistants whose name escapes me right now. Their scheme is just so helpful in getting fantasy player steals. I wouldn't worry about Middleton steals. And, you know, blocks are kind of where they're at. I think he's basically doing what he was doing last year, but he's doing it in 6 more minutes per game, which is a huge jump for a player that didn't change coaches and didn't have any major, like, roster upheaval.
I completely agree with all that. What's weird about his stat line is his threes are up, but he must be shooting way worse on twos because his field goal percentage is down. So I think that, like, even if the three-pointers come down a little bit, I think he's going to start making a few more twos, and so, like, the points are going to stay relatively where they are right now.
Yeah, that's a great point, and you can see it here. I didn't mention that, and I didn't because I didn't notice it. But last year on 2-point attempts, he shot about 50%. So far this season, he's shooting about 33%. And there's nothing that we know about. There's no news that would suggest he's a worse shooter this year than he was last year. So you would definitely expect that to bump up. It's crazy that he is shooting 44% on 3-point attempts and 33% on 2-point attempts.
I agree with that 100%. I looked at that in the stats and I'm like, that does not make any sense to me.
Yeah, that's probably more small sample size than anything else. So I, you know, maybe the Chris Middleton owner doesn't notice it just because some of these, like his shooting percentage is so much lower than it should be. But I think, you know, he's probably, if he's going to play 36 minutes a game, I think he's a top 50 player. No question. So I doubt that he's being treated like that in your rankings or in your league. So if you can go ahead and trade for him, I think he's a good buy low candidate as well.
I agree 100%.
All right. Should we go to the next guy that is trending downwards, at least in the rankings? And that is Kemba Walker. He's down 18 spots to number 52 in our rankings. Let's go check out Kemba's. And actually, we talked about this last night on the podcast a little bit in the context of a different player. We were talking about Al Jefferson and basically how this season he's playing about 25 minutes a game, whereas 2 years ago he was playing 35 minutes a game. I think this story is kind of the same thing with the whole Charlotte Hornets lineup. If you look at Walker, he's dropped, you know, 2 years ago, he played 36 minutes per game. We know he had some injury problems last year, but he was still over 34 minutes a game. And so far this season, he's down to 31 minutes per game. I don't know if you paid much attention to the Hornets rotation. Have you sort of seen the same thing where they seem to be playing like a deeper rotation than in years past?
That seems what it is to me. They're playing their bench guys more. I mean, for Kemba Walker specifically, I mean, I think they got Jeremy Lin, and, you know, I think they're just willing to play their backups a little bit more than they have been in the past. And that's definitely hurting his minutes.
Yeah. And as far as, you know, he's another guy that really, I don't see anything different in his stats per possession that is happening. So it's got to be kind of frustrating to Kemba owners, because really the points are still there. The steals are still there. The assists are there. The three-pointers are still there. He's actually shooting a little bit better than he has in the previous 2 years, which isn't saying a lot. He's at 40%. Last year, he was at 35%. The year before, he was at 39%. So it's definitely not why you're drafting him. But, you know, the per-possession stats look right where you'd want him to be. It's just that sort of a change in role has happened for him. And like you said, with the, it seems like almost a change in philosophy, but it's really a double whammy, because it's the change in philosophy a little bit, as they seem to be trying to get up and down the court a little bit more, and try to change their offense a little bit. It's also that they added Jeremy Lin, who's a capable backup. So I don't really necessarily like the prospects for him returning to that 36 minutes or 35 minutes per game.
Yeah, I'm definitely not buying low on this one.
Yeah, I think this is a guy that you probably, if you own him, I don't know. It just depends on what you could get for him, but I'm certainly not expecting a bounce back from a minute standpoint. I think he's probably going to be in that 30 to 31 minutes per game the rest of the season.
Maybe if someone in your league isn't paying attention, maybe you could try to sell him. Maybe someone thinks he's still at the value he started the season with. Maybe they think he's still going to play that bigger role.
But so here's a question. Would you trade him for Isaiah Thomas?
I would rather have Isaiah Thomas. Yeah, I would trade him for Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah, and our rankings definitely say that you should. What about Chris Middleton?
Well, I mean, if I needed assist, obviously I'd stick with Kemba Walker. But as far as overall value, I think I would trade him. I think I would trade him for Middleton.
And that's obviously the smart way to look at things. You've got to be aware of what categories you need, but in a vacuum, I think that ranking probably is right. Middleton's a little more valuable than Walker at this point, just because of they've almost flipped playing time roles. You see Middleton up around 36 minutes a game and Walker down around 30 minutes per game. Speaking of weird minutes, this next guy on our list, Rajon Rondo, he's out of the last two games, I think he has played all 96 minutes. That is
correct.
It's absurd. Like, I don't think anybody's done that in like 10 plus seasons.
Is it just because they have no backup other than Collison who's hurt?
That can't be the answer, though. Like, you still have to sub your players in and out.
One would think, but I guess they don't think anyone can handle the ball there.
He's played in the last three games, he sat out a total of 3.5 minutes.
That is insane.
There has to be some other plan, or else you can't just not have a plan when one of your two injury prone two injury prone point guards gets hurt, is to just play the other one 48 minutes.
I completely agree, but apparently they don't seem to be all there, I guess is the best way to put it.
I wonder if this is do you ever hear those stories about kids who would like sneak into their dad's cigar case and then their dad would like make them smoke all of the cigars? Yeah. I wonder if this is situations where like Rajon Rondo was complaining about playing time and George Karl was like, fine, we're just going to play you all of the minutes.
That's a good possibility. I don't really see any other explanation.
It doesn't make sense. So as a result of this like weirdness with his playing time, he's bumped up 34 spots in our projections, because now he's projected his average is coming in at like 34 minutes per game, which is higher than we expected him to play preseason. But you kind of mentioned it, like a lot of it is just because they don't have a backup point guard right now.
I agree with that. I think that definitely this is the time, if someone really thinks he's a top 50 player, to sell him off.
Because he's had some great games playing those 48 minutes. Like last night he had, 14 points, 15 assists, and 11 rebounds. In those last three games where he's played all of those minutes, he's averaging 14 assists, 13 and a half assists or something like that. But you're right. If you did that on a per 36 minute basis, even it's not that impressive.
Right. Well, look at the games before that too. I mean, he only played over 30 minutes one time before that.
Yeah. Go look at his. Yeah, exactly. Before.
If Collison comes back, he's probably not even playing 30 minutes.
This is so weird.
It's the strangest thing I've seen in a while.
It's like all the smart teams are going to this managing minutes, and the Kings, of course, are going to let's play our point guard every minute that you can possibly play.
Have you watched any of these games? Like, is he passing out on the floor at the end? Like, how is he not just so tired?
I don't know. I don't know if he's just not you remember in Boston when he basically said, "I haven't tried on defense for a couple of years." He admitted that. I wonder if that's sort of the same thing he's doing here, where he's just playing half the court. Honestly, I wouldn't blame him. If you're not ever going to sub out, you've got to take some breaks somewhere. So
I completely agree with that.
Yeah. So I think he's a definite sell high. If these rankings were more managed and less automated, I don't think he would have jumped up as far as he's jumped up into the top 50. He does have value just because assists are so valuable and he is good at that, but I don't think he's going to keep getting these sorts of minutes. I don't think anybody could sustain this level of playing time.
Me neither. Sell him.
Sell him if you can.
Tout the assist and sell him.
Yeah. He's averaging 14 assists over the last three games. Just don't mention that he hasn't subbed out. The only corollary I can think to this, did you ever see the movie Eddie? It's with Whoopi Goldberg. You'll have to check it out.
I have not seen it, but what happens?
Well, so it's a really stupid plot. But so she's a fan who hits a half-court shot and gets to coach for the rest of the game. And then the real coach gets kicked out. And so she has to actually coach the rest of the game. And then they hire her as the full-time coach. But her big, thing that she does is start subbing out the starters. Like, she starts to play her bench players, because prior to that, the big head coach had played all of his players 48 minutes per game.
That is insane.
I don't know if George Karl's been watching that and trying to take cues from the
coach on there. He's just a really big Whoopi Goldberg fan, I think.
Well, no, Whoopi went the other way. She was more like a Greg Popovich coach, where she would get her, she subbed out her players, but I think whoever the coach prior to Whoopi on the Knicks was, I think George Karl must like him.
He read his coaching manual.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, the last guy I want to talk about tonight, Tyler, is Goran Dragic. And this one's a little disappointing to me, because Dragic is a guy that I just thought that Phoenix situation was so poor for him, where he was not playing with the ball in his hands enough. And he'd done so well moving to Miami last season, I'll bring him up now. His per 100 possession stats. It looks like I clicked an ad or something. His per 100 possession stats really bounced up, kicked up in his Miami days, which made a lot of sense, just because you knew that he wasn't in a 3-point guard rotation anymore. Thus far this season, he has been pretty disappointing. He's dropped 35 spots in our rankings from 40th overall to 75th. And actually, to be honest, I thought that 40th spot ranking was a little bit conservative for him. So let's dig into this. The first thing we notice, he's only playing 30 minutes a game, which is about 5 minutes less per game than he played with Miami last season. Do you think that makes sense, or is that a small sample size?
It makes sense until Dwayne Wade gets hurt or misses a game like he did tonight, and then he played the 35.
Yeah, I guess they've just got enough talented players, although they just traded Mario Chalmers.
That's a good point. That could open up a few more minutes for him too.
I mean, Tyler Johnson is playing well. I don't know if he's a true point guard. He feels more like a shooting guard to me. Who is their backup point guard now?
It's Tyler Johnson. That's the whole reason they wanted to trade Chalmers. That's what I heard.
Go ahead.
They wanted to play Tyler Johnson as the backup point guard to see if he could actually be a point guard. I guess it's kind of like that Zach LaVine thing from last year where, you know, they want to see if you're a point guard or if you're a shooting guard.
I feel like if you have to ask, then you already know the answer.
It would seem that way, but apparently they like to see it for themselves, I guess.
And I actually like Tyler Johnson. I mean, he had a good game tonight. He just comes off to me. He looks more like an undersized shooting guard to me.
Tyler Johnson is, I think, going to be a decent scorer. And he is more of a shooting guard. He's not a distributor.
But, yeah, that's their other shooting guard, or that's their other point guard. So it'll be interesting if that sort of has the effect of between Wade sitting out games, which he did tonight, and Tyler Johnson subbing in, I guess, for Mario Chalmers, if that opens up a few more minutes for Dragic to play. Now, I don't know that – let's see. I don't have a good answer for this. We're going to look at real time. This is what I suspected. His production, even per possession, is down quite a bit. Insofar as I'm talking about scoring, like his scoring is down. Last season, he averaged about 25 points per 100 possessions. This season, he's at 17. The assists aren't down per se, but they are down based on where he was at in Miami last season. Last season in the 26 games in Miami, he averaged 8 assists per 100 possessions. He's only at 7 this season. That's up from the 6 that he averaged in Phoenix. So maybe I'm being a little hard on him. That could be a little small sample size and a little bit like maybe last season was too optimistic. But really it's not bad. That 7 assists per 100 possessions is pretty good. It's not like his beginning Phoenix days when he was in the 10 and 11 range. And it looks like to me, mostly it's his shooting percentage, which has always been pretty robust. Like for point guards, he's always one of the top guys in shooting percentage. Do we have any reason to think like he's always been around 50%, or at least he was the last few years in Phoenix and last year in Miami? Do you have any reason to think that he's become that 43% shooter that he's showing this season, or do you think that is a small sample size?
Did you see the quote from him? I want to say it was yesterday, but it might have been the day before, about how he said he was used to playing with more shooters, and now that like they're clogging the lane a little bit, so when he drives, that like there's always big guys in there because Whiteside is like standing right there, and so he feels like he's not getting as many open looks. Did you see this quote?
I didn't see it, but I'm glad that you're telling me about it because it makes a lot of sense.
So I think it's due to come up a little bit. He's also shooting a lot less per game. I mean, even with his Miami numbers last year, he's shooting like 3.5 shots less.
Yeah.
So I think there's more mouths to feed. I mean, Whiteside needs some shots. Wade needs some shots. Boss needs some shots. So I think there's more mouths to feed. So he's getting less shots and he's getting less good looks, which is driving that field goal percentage down. Now, I think it's going to tick up a little bit, but I don't know that it's going to get all the way back up to the 50% he's been shooting the last 2 years.
Yeah, I think that's good analysis. And so I guess I kind of feel the same way about him as who are we talking about? I don't necessarily – Klay Thompson, I think. I don't necessarily think that I'm running out to trade for him because I do think there are real issues here that aren't due to return to normal levels. But I also don't know that I'm trying to trade him for like 80 cents on the dollar – based on his preseason valuation, because I do think, you know, with that trade and with D Wade's health, that there is a chance that he does get roughly, you know, kind of close back to where he was at the beginning of the season.
I completely agree with that. Yeah. I'm definitely not going out and actively trying to acquire him unless I can get him, unless someone is really selling him low.
Yeah.
And then I'm interested, but I'm going to let him make the offer, not me.
Yeah, so we've got him down to 76. So here's an interesting one. Which guy would you want? Would you rather have Rondo or Dragic?
Rondo or Dragic? I think I am going to go with Dragic because I think the percentages are going to be a little bit better. And I think that, you know, I think he's going to go trend up and Rondo's going to trend down. How about you?
Yeah, I agree. I think Rondo's Again, I think his value is just being artificially boosted by that absurd playing time that he's getting right now. Not that he can't get 35 minutes a game, but he's just not going to get, and that's all we have him projected for right now. I don't even think he's going to get to that, but he's certainly not going to be in that 48 minute per range. So maybe there's a good target for you if you have Rondo.
I think that's a perfect thing because I think people are going to see that Rondo's been playing awesome. And so they're going to think, oh man, I can get Rondo. He's been playing great. And if they're not looking deep into the stats, I think that would be perfect for you.
And the other thing is, it's always like selling high on guys is sort of hard because I think other people in your league are going to be smart enough to say, you know, okay, Rondo's had three good games. There's been a lot of minutes, but it becomes a lot easier to talk yourself into Rondo or someone like that if you're selling a disappointing player. In other words, like if I've got Isaiah Thomas, I'm going, no way I'm trading for Rondo. Like, we don't know that this is real. The Kings have a messed up situation. Like, I feel like in the back of my head, it's all the reasons not to do the trade come up of like why Rondo could go back to normal. But when I'm talking about dealing somebody I'm frustrated with or disappointed with, I tend to like try to talk myself into it a little bit more, being like, you know, Rondo used to be good and he had all those good years in the Celtics, and I don't know if Dragic is ever going to get back, and so maybe I pull the trigger. So I think trying to try to trade for somebody who's disappointing with somebody who's doing well is a good move.
I completely agree with that. I think that's a lot of times where you see trades go down, especially in leagues where they're really competitive. It's just someone's just like, oh, this guy's killing me. I got to give up on him. And this guy's been really hot. And so, like you're saying, I think you can just talk yourself into it a little bit more, like, my guy might never bounce back. He's been playing well. I'm going to do it.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Tyler, I have one more question for you.
All right, let's shoot.
Have you ever been in a situation in a weekly with a weekly lineup or a daily games lineup where you've looked at your opponent's fantasy lineup and thought to yourself, I would love to challenge just one of his players in rather than his entire team?
I'm pretty sure I have had that situation.
Well, now you can with the new nohalftime.com service, and specifically their app. It allows you to challenge either a specific player or a team. For example, you could pit LeBron James versus Carmelo Anthony. You could the matchup we were just talking about. You could do Rajon Rondo against Goran Dragic.
Well, that would be an interesting one.
That would be kind of fun.
I'm waiting until Collison comes back though.
Well, maybe you take the Rondo side until Collison comes back, and then you can take the Dragic side.
Now that would work.
Yeah. You know, Klay Thompson versus Chris Middleton would be an interesting one for the time being. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, possibilities of course are endless here, but point is you can challenge your buddies in a private contest, or you can do a public contest where you can challenge anybody at large and basically just do a one-on-one challenge, which is not only fun, but also a little more convenient than some of the daily games. So this is not just NBA. They have NFL challenges, hockey challenges, college football, college basketball. And the bonus, the cherry on top here, Tyler, is if you use the promo code for our podcast, which is BBALL, B-B-A-L-L, you get a bonus $25 just for signing up.
That sounds like a good deal.
Yeah, so you can start playing. They have challenges on there for $5, so you can play at minimum 5 challenges. But, you know, based on what Tyler and I have shared with you, you're probably going to win a bunch of your challenges, and then you can play forever.
That's right. So, I have a question for you real quick about this. Yeah. Have you tried the two very bad players like you've been talking about the last couple of days? Have you tried to challenge someone?
I haven't actually set up any of the very bad players. We should get that going. You and I should do one.
I think that would be really fun.
All right. We'll report next time we're on the podcast.
All right. That sounds good.
All right. So we'll remember, go to nohalftime.com, and obviously Android or Apple devices. You can go to the place you download those apps and download the app there. Just remember, it's No Halftime, where the fantasy sports season never takes a break. And again, promo code BBALL. Tyler, do you have anything else you want to talk about?
No, I think that's it.
All right. Tyler and I are going to sign off, and then we're going to go find some terrible players to pit against each other on nohalftime.com. Tyler, we'll be in good shape for that. We played a deep league that has 400 active players. So I think we know the ins and outs of those terrible players, and we root for them nightly. So
we know the inside outs of rooting for the guy who plays 10 minutes off the bench and hopefully gets you one basket.
Exactly. All right, Tyler, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you on Twitter again?
You can find me on Twitter at Watsy4444. So that's WATTSY 4444.
And Tyler, thanks again for coming on. I really appreciate you hanging out here and providing some of your fantasy analysis for us.
Hey, man, thank you. It was a great time.
And I'm Mark Roberts. You can find me on Twitter at Mark F. Roberts. We'll see you guys. So this is the Friday show. We'll be back with a whole new show, probably talking about week four, setting your lineups and the schedule for week four on Monday morning and maybe even Sunday night if you download at that point. So look for us then. Until then, have a good weekend and we'll talk to you guys later. Bye.